Hey guys, welcome back to the Real Estate Monopoly. My name is Kerwin.
And my name is Kenneth Donis.
And it is a great day. I mean, today we have an awesome guest. Kenneth, how are you doing today?
I feel great, man. How are you doing?
I am great. It's beautiful outside, great weather. And we are excited because today we have an awesome guest who's here to discuss an awesome topic. Matthew, please introduce yourself to the audience.
Well, first of all, gentlemen, thank you very much for having me. Isn't there another brother?
Yes, there is. There's a third. I always like to say that it's hard to fit all three of us in the screen. So we
There we go. Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate having, happy to be here and excited to jump into things.
Awesome. Well, Matthew Botzel is a real estate investor and he's also the founder of, he was the co-host of Real Estate Journeys, which had 114 episodes, and he's a top 400 business podcast. And he's also working right now at Boardwalk Wealth, a private equity company based in Dallas, Texas, which specializes in acquiring large multifamily properties. And today we brought him in to talk about everything related to podcasts and building your brand and really growing your credibility online in the digital space. And when it comes to us, that involves capital raising. So Matthew, first, I'd love to know, how did you get into real estate?
Yeah, so currently I'm in Chiang Mai, Thailand. I'm invested in multifamily and I have a podcast booking agency for real estate investors. But initially I got into basically fixing and flipping homes with my mother back in 2008. Long story short, she was overexposed. Portfolio went belly up. She liquidated all of her properties. Fast forward to 2016, I left the United States, wound up traveling the world, wound up in Thailand, fell in love. Got married, had a kid, but during this time back in around 2017, I wanted to get involved in multifamily and I started thinking of my next moves for when I was going back to the States. And I was like, okay, studying Grant Cardone, watching all this stuff, reading all these books, and I went on Bigger Pockets. And what I did from there is I created a digital meetup group. It basically consisted of about 6 to 8 members all throughout the United States. We met, I think it was once or maybe twice a month. I can't remember the specifics, but we basically met monthly. And, a lady who was basically following my progress liked what I was doing. And she said, after 2 or 3 months, she said, hey, I really like what you're doing. Why don't I connect you with somebody that's starting up their own private equity firm. Mm-hmm. And I got my foot in the door, started working my way up, was basically on the ground floor, employee number 2, and was able to invest and acquire properties and invest through the GP shares. And then in 2020, I started Elite Podcast Bookings, which is a real estate podcast booking service, which specializes in helping people raise capital and attract deal flow. And I had a podcast as well during that time, which you said in the intro was 114 episodes. So yeah, that's just a little bit about me, kind of a quick rundown.
Awesome. Awesome. I love that. And you touched on your mother and her background in real estate and how she ended up having to liquidate her assets during the 2008 crash. I was really curious to know, how did that impact your perspective on real estate and I guess why you chose to pursue multifamily?
Yeah. So, economies of scale, right? So with multifamily, we'll just say you have 100 units, right? Mm-hmm. 10 people leave, you've got 100% or at 90% occupancy. Right now you're at 90 units. My mom had, probably maybe in her prime, probably close to 8 units. Mm-hmm. But when people just are clearly not paying, like one resident clearly not pay, several months and then another. And you're, a mother at home with 2 boys and your floating mortgages that are, $1,500 a piece. And after 6-7 months, that just drains your bank account. Mm-hmm. And so she let a couple of them go into foreclosure, sold some of them. And she always jokes, she's like, man, if I would have just held on to those, right? Like, she would have been sitting pretty, and we're from Denver, Colorado, right? So, that's prime real estate right now. So, that would have been great, but seeing that happen, that was always just kind of shocking and an eye opener. And multifamily after that just kind of seemed like the next step. I know people that fix and flip homes that make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It's good for a quick buck, but as far as economies of scale, you can't really beat multifamily. Absolutely. If you buy right, you know?
Yeah. And I just kind of want to touch on that just because most people, when they faced adversity or even, you know, like in this case, kind of losing or seeing somebody lose a lot of properties in real estate, they might never go back to real estate. But what about real estate just made you want to come back and just pursue it in a different, you know, field or asset class?
Yeah. So I don't know. I always liked real estate, right? Like my mom, like, I would like, so this is dating myself, right? So they used to have flyers and people would have like a sign and they put it in, say, for sale, and they have like a little, like a box kind of, right? And my mom would be like, go run up and get a flyer. And I'd be like, kid, I'd run up there, get a flyer back. We'd like look at it. She's like, okay. And you know, she would do the like bidding and whatnot. And then she'd be like, oh, I bought a property. Great. And so like literally like as a kid, like I would go in there with a hammer and like start doing demo, like banging out cabinets. I just loved like getting my hands dirty, seeing a project go from absolutely like crap and then throwing lipstick on a pig, putting in new countertops, painting, like putting in new tiles, everything. And I was like, wow, this is like cool. Like, I don't know. I like using my hands. Right. And so just seeing that, like, and then adding value, and then we'd drive by the properties, like, you know, as we sold them, we'd be like, yeah, let's go see, you know, if they still have that tree out front. And then, you know, maybe they sold the home like 2 years later, it's the same residence. And you're like, oh, wow, like they're not taking good care of the garage. Like, remember when that garage fell on top of you? Like, so yeah, I always just like the actual tangible asset in itself.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, with that experience, you know, that's always just resonated with me. And then I kind of living abroad, just had to transfer that passion into a digital sphere.
Absolutely.
And kind of bridge the gap.
Yeah. And one thing I like that you kind of often touch on is how capital raising specifically has transitioned. And a lot of times it's happening online in the digital space in today's world, instead of kind of the handshaking networking, which is still important. And I know you emphasize the importance of it, but starting out, can you maybe expand on what inspired you to start that venture of helping people in the real estate space book podcasts? What need is that meeting?
Yeah. So, I started the company in May 2020, right? Like we'll just say right in the heart of COVID, but you know, with my podcast, I had a bunch of people coming on my podcast. This was before COVID happened. I had 114 episodes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were trying to pitch to get on my show. I was working with the company. We were raising capital for deals. I saw how it was going, raising millions and millions of dollars. I spoke with investors. I was working with investors relations. So I kind of just took all my skill sets and bridged it under one. So with capital raising in particular, right? The old way, I always like to say there's like the analog and then there's the digital. So the analog would be going to conferences, shaking hands, kissing babies. Like that stuff is all necessarily you need to do, right? Like meeting somebody in person is great. But as you gentlemen know, like you have a podcast, we're recording this. This is the digital sphere. This can go out and let's just say on average, you have 1,000 downloads per episode, which is great. And you could put that out there and 1,000 people can listen to it driving home in their car. But if you were to go to, you know, the best ever real estate conference in Colorado, you know, I haven't been to that per se, but I'll guess maybe there's 4,000 people tops, give or take.
Yeah.
That might be an overestimate, but to meet 1,000 people at a conference would almost be overwhelming. And within the digital sphere or in general, there was a recent study that was done by Google that said that people have to consume 7 hours of your content in order to become familiar with you, like, you know, you trust you and for you to take action. So you guys have a podcast, people can listen to you. They like you, know you, become familiar with you. And over time are probably more likely to invest with you. And podcasting is a great way to do that. And if you're a podcast guest and you want to go on the podcasting circuit, it's the best way to do it as far as like a digital conference of you. I'm sorry, comparing it to digital conference, but you're basically going on a bunch of other podcasts, leveraging their network, adding value and promoting your brand, promoting your message. And in return, people are liking, knowing you, trusting you, seeing you on different podcasts.
Yeah.
And then somebody's going to give you $200,000 to invest in your deal. But this is the first time meeting you gentlemen. Right. Yeah. And you'll probably add me to your distribution list. And we'll be in contact with each other. And now this is our first touch point. But if you said after this call, hey, we have a deal, in Austin, Texas. Do you want to give us $200,000? I'm like, listen, boys, like I just met you, like you're great and all, but like, I don't really know you. Like, let's have some reciprocity, give and take here and maybe down the road. But yeah, that's just a little bit of kind of a rundown.
No, I love that. And we've learned that too. I've been exposed to the power of social media. We've been to conferences where people walk up to us and I didn't even know people were watching, because a lot of times people don't engage with it, but they're seeing it, you know? And so people would be like, oh, I feel like I already know you. And it's almost a celebrity status you get when you're posting and being consistent. And you touched on the touch points. I believe you said there's 7 touch points that is required for people to begin to actually build that relationship with you and know you, like you and trust you. I'd love it if you can maybe expand on what are some examples of a touch point could be and why 7?
Yeah. So before there was an American Express, and American Express said it was 7 different touch points. Then recently I was listening to a marketing guy, and Google ran a survey that said it's actually 7 hours of content, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll just go with the 7 touch points, which is probably, well, is very valuable. So a different touch point would be like, if you think about from American Express's standpoint, you see an advertisement on the television. That's one touch point. They send you something in the mail. That's another touch point. They send you something in the mail for Christmas. That's another touch point. And you're like, why do these guys keep sending me this BS stuff that I always throw away? Because they know after 7 times, you're more likely to take action, right? They fancy it up the packaging. They say they're going to give you a trip to Cabo. And the law of reciprocity says that when somebody gives something to you, you're more likely to give something back. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, well, I'm getting some rewards points. I want to go to Cabo. And now all of a sudden you're in their funnel and you sign up. So listening to a podcast, blog post, mail, newsletter, social media, mm-hmm. Twitter, anything where you could basically eyeballs. Yep. You look at it, see you on TV, billboard. Oh, drove by you again. Like billboards, right? Yeah. You're on the freeway. You drive the same way to work every single day. You're like, that guy saying like 1-800 flip home, call now. It's like this guy. Because they know. Yeah. It's just a repetition, you know? And over time, like it just becomes ingrained in you. And then all of a sudden you're like, hey, I want to flip my home. Oh, that guy, I'm going to give him a call, right?
Yeah, and that's a really good point. And you mentioned Grant Cardone earlier, and I'm a really big Grant Cardone fan, and he talks about being omnipresent and really just consistently posting, putting your content out there, because eventually, like you said, people will see you, you know, either on YouTube, or they'll see you on Twitter or Instagram, or listen to your podcast and different places, and then they'll start following you, and that's how you get more people to pretty much join your like audience. And once you do that, you know, depending on what kind of, you know, if you're trying to sell a product, or in our case trying to raise money, you can get more people into your funnel and achieve what you're trying to achieve. So I think that's a really good point.
Absolutely. But I would kind of, let's say people are taking the action it takes to kind of be on podcasts as a guest, or potentially even host their own podcast. What are some common mistakes you see guests and hosts make when it comes to this platform?
Yeah. So as far as podcasting is concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll just touch on, first we'll just touch. So as far as video is concerned, right? So as you guys can see me, right, I have very clear video, high definition, nice background, mm-hmm. illuminated under a light. I have good quality sound. You gentlemen said that, you know, predominantly it's audio and you use the video, but imagine if, you know, you're the host, or you're the podcast guest and you have crappy audio, or you have crappy video, and you go to listen to it and you're like, listen, these guys can't even buy a good camera. These guys can't even buy a good microphone. What makes me think that they can handle $100,000 of my money? I'm out already.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like these guys can't even consistently post one podcast episode a week. Like what makes me think that they can get a consistent deal flow? What makes they can consistently handle my money? And then going back to the digital side, right? There's analog and there's digital. So with digital, you can't fake. I mean, you can fake digital, right? But it's like to fake 100 blog posts, that's going to take some time.
Yeah.
to fake 100 followers, that's going to be pretty easy to do. But if you have, you know, 100, 200 podcast episodes, that like you can't just snap your fingers overnight.
Yeah.
You actually have to do the work, right? You have to proof of work. You have to put it in, and then that stuff slowly compounds over time. So you can Google my name, you can Google your name, you can Google your podcast. And within you know, an instant of a second, you already have your credibility.
Yep.
And the thing is that that compounds over time. And as you guys know, the more you do, and like you're saying, the Grant Cardone being omnipresent, like people are going to radiate with that message. People want to be on an upward spiral, right? They want to be on the up and up, be like, oh, I knew that guy win. When a plane's crashing, going down, everybody's jumping off, right? Yeah. They want momentum. Oh yeah. I was on episode 2. I was on episode 100. Like, wow, great. Congratulations. You know, people want the underdog. People want to cheer for something like that. People don't want to be a part of something that's like, June, he had an episode. They didn't do anything February, March. They had one, you know? So just, I would say like, as far as like consistency, on both parts, consistency is a capital raiser. You know, are you putting out your newsletter on time? Are you consistently having good audio? Are you consistently having good video? For both the host and the guests, you know, are you easy to work with? I just recently had a podcast episode this morning that I was supposed to record, and the guy canceled on me 3 times. And I said, listen, I messaged him. I said, listen, like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm gonna have to respectfully decline. Like, I can't do this. Yeah. Like, I'm not, he's like, hey, listen, like, you know, I understand. And if you want, like, we can do, just send me over sometimes. I'm like, nah, dude, like, it's not worth my time. Like, even if the episode does go live, like, what makes me think like you can even have like a good podcast going? So, you know, being consistent, doing what you say you're going to do. And, you know, over time that stuff compounds, and a lot of people quit before the results show up, before the compound effect.
Absolutely. And that's like a reflection of character too. And I think that'll correlate and translate into how you perform in terms of like being a real estate investor, operating the asset, being a steward of other people's capital. It's like about building that trust, and people invest emotionally. So how they feel when they're listening to you, and if they feel motivated, or like you're like someone they would even want to eat a meal with, for example, or somebody they would want to be friends with. If they actually feel like they like you, then they probably are more likely to want to invest with you, and things like that just take time. And that's why we've seen the benefit of it, because over time people have been following us on our social media and our platforms like podcasts like this one. And through time they've seen us, and we always like to say it's like our receipts, our posts since we started 2-3 years ago. And so they can pull it up. It's almost like I can't fake that. You can go back in time, but I can't make old posts, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't fake it at all.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
exactly.
I like the receipts part. That's well said.
I love it. Thank you. But no, you can use that. but in general, when someone, let's say someone is on our show, and or someone's listening to our podcast, and we end up getting an investor lead, right? How would that person, that listener, go from being just one-time listener to your podcast to eventually investing in one of your deals? Like, what does that process look like? Is there a funnel system that you have for that?
Yes. So you're saying somebody is listening to your podcast episode, and how do they go from a listener to an investor?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like, what would be the funnel, or what kind of marketing would I need to put out in order to capture them?
Yeah. So, I mean, your podcast is a form of marketing, right? So you, as far as the podcast host, you would have different call to actions, right? So you could have different landing pages. You could do different giveaways. But basically what I would try and do is I would try and acquire their email, and then I would put them on your distribution list. And dependent upon how you came in contact with them, I'm sure you're probably trying to set up a phone call with them to screen them. And then I would take proper notes on your conversation. And we'll just say Joe Smith lives in Dallas, Texas, and he loves the Cowboys, and his son goes to school in Miami, right? Great. He's an accredited investor. You add him to your distribution list, however you got him, whether that's, you know, he left a review, he's in your sales funnel, whatever. And so now you have his email, you had your contact, you've had your conversation, and reaching out like a normal human being would to someone that you care about, right? Hey, John Doe, your kid's going, I know college is starting back up in September here, and you know, Miami's got a hell of a game for week one. Mm-hmm. Like, all the best luck to your son and his you know, his football season, right? Yep. It's like, wow, that's great. Like, one, he remembered my son went to Miami. Wow, thanks. You know, you give, hey, here's an article that I thought might help you look. I know you're looking for fixing and flipping properties in Orlando. Here's an article I ran across on Bloomberg. I think you'll enjoy it, right? Now you're starting to develop a relationship, and then maybe you have a deal that fits his investment criteria. you run it by him, you send him an email on your newsletter. Maybe he doesn't see it. Maybe you personally call him. Maybe you personally text him. And now all of a sudden you have this relationship where you're adding value. And a lot of mistakes people have is, you know, why should I start a real estate podcast? Why should I be a capital raiser? Mm-hmm. If I go on all these other real estate podcasts, you know, who's going to listen to me? It's just kind of being drowned out. But people want to hear what you have to say. People listen to your podcast, right? The way you talk about capital raising, like, you know what I'm saying? You're a unique Absolutely. Individual. Nobody can clone that. So you have your own spin on it.
Yes, I 100% agree. And that's why we always like to share our story on every single time we get on a guest as a guest on another platform.
Yeah, because I would say, like you said, you know, everyone has a different perspective or a different spin on something. And someone might look at you and maybe not agree with what, you know, you have to say, but maybe I said it a little bit differently, but we're both talking about the same thing, but they just agree with the way I said it, or they like, you know, maybe I look like them, or maybe I come from the same background. So there's different perspectives and different things that you can kind of, kind of attach or
repackage or filter. You relate to the person who's delivering it, right? So like,
yes.
Like you might be like, okay, I relate to that guy because he's from the East Coast. And he's saying it like, he's like me. He fits my demographic. He's from the East Coast. Yeah.
Exactly.
But the same guy that's saying it that lives in, you know, Seattle. Yeah. Like, I've never been to Seattle. I don't know this guy. He seems a little weird. Same message, but different, but you like A as opposed to B. Yeah, definitely. For sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so a lot of times I think the really like alternative to starting a podcast yourself is doing a podcast tour where you go on and get on other people's shows and leverage their thought leadership platforms and their audiences. So I would love it if you could maybe provide some tips for anyone who's planning on doing that or is doing that, but trying to be a better guest. And what are some tips you have for them to not only just bring more value, but also maybe be more relatable or authentic on the platform?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, what you should probably do is just, you know, think about your story, right? Think about how you started, where you were to where you are now, right? People love transitions. So, you know, how did you go from 0 units to 100 units? You know, think about your talking points of what you want to go on. Don't. And that's like an example of, you know, our clients, they typically have like 3 or 4 like talking points, right? Like, I like self-storage, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And I like, you know, Section 8 housing in North Carolina, in Raleigh, like whatever. So whatever the headlines are. So the host can just look at that and be like, okay, they want to talk about this. So you want to be easy to work with, right? Like as a podcast host, as a podcast guest, you want to be easy to work with. You want to have good quality audio. You want to have good quality video. You want to basically have all your ducks in the line. You want to have your headshot sent over to them in time. You want to have all your media kits, make sure your websites, everything's up and running. You know, you want to be easy to work with. You don't want to be the guy that's like, hey, your episode's about to go live on Tuesday. Can you send us your headshot? Oh, you don't have it. It's like, bro, nobody wants to deal with that. So be somebody that's easy to work with, right? And know that if this is your first time going on a podcast, like you're going to make mistakes. You know, you guys have said you've been doing this for 2-3 years. Like you still make mistakes and nobody's perfect. Nobody has their messaging down pat, but the more you talk about it, the more you practice it, the better you feel and the more confidence you have. Mm-hmm. And you're going to muddle your way through it, and that's fine. And people want to help other people out who are trying. You know, you see those things on Instagram that are like, the guy's 400 pounds, but he's giving it his all and he's on the treadmill.
Yes.
Dude, yeah, man. Like this guy's out there getting it. He's trying. He's actually trying. Like, I'm gonna watch this. I'll give him a like. Like, yeah, this guy's trying. But somebody that says, like, oh, I'm trying to raise capital, I'm trying to do deals. It's like, how many deals have you underwrote? What are you doing to look at deals? Where are you looking for deals? What's your investment criteria? Well, you know, like school and then semester's over. And then it's like, yo, everybody's busy. So 100%. What are you doing? You know what I'm saying?
No, exactly. It's all about taking action. That's what we're big advocates for. It's like failing forward. You're never going to know everything. And like you said, we still make mistakes and we're always making mistakes. And it's just about being willing to be uncomfortable and be comfortable in that uncomfortable space and learning on the go, because you don't really know everything. And I think people can relate to that too. Like, people don't really relate to someone who's perfect. So when you make a mistake, it's okay. I mean, it's like, they make mistakes too. Yeah. So I think that's a lot of value there.
That way you don't look like a robot. And exactly. Like, you know, even pro athletes and you know, like,
sorry.
No, you're good.
No worries.
I can go back and edit that. We could just pick it up. You said, yeah.
Yeah. So, so to piggyback off, you know, just your insecurities, right? Yes. Like I was listening to David Goggins' audiobook, and, you know, kind of what I took from it is just, you know, embracing your imperfections, right? And when you own something, like nobody can harm you because you own it, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. You can be like, you know, like, yeah, I'm dumb, you know? Yeah, I'm illiterate. I work hard. Like my mom is fat, you know? if you're getting out ahead of the PR, if you're getting out ahead of the storm, right? And then somebody's like, oh, like, yeah, your mom's fat. You're like, I just told you my mom was fat.
You thought I was lying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, yeah. Oh, wow. And so like being a human and being like, listen, like, like, yo, I'm like 3 or 4 pounds out of shape. Like I'm trying to lose some weight. Like, you know, I have some insecurities and people are like, yeah, they relate to that. They're like, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But when everybody says they're perfect and they're like, they've never had a blunder and this and that, it's like, that's just not, nobody relates to that. And when you're a vulnerable person and you're there and you're present, and you're listening to somebody, whether it's capital raising, a podcast episode, people can relate to that. People can hear that. And that's who people want to work with. People don't want to be with somebody that's a robot, like, okay, so $100,000, right? It's like, you kind of sound like a banker, whatever. Like people want to relate to you and be part of your story.
Yeah, no, it's the key word, I think that you said, there's vulnerability. And that applies not only if you're like a podcast guest, podcast host, if you're networking out there, trying to meet people in person, raise capital in person, or even just do deals with brokers as a real estate investor. Like it applies to everything. I think that kind of shows that you're more complex. And like I'm a big fan of storytelling. And that's like one of the key principles in storytelling, is really appeal to that like imperfect side of everyone, because everyone's imperfect. So everyone can relate to that. And if that's really like communication, sales, psychology, people will be more likely to build a relationship with someone that they can relate to.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. Earlier in the podcast, you did mention, you know, that example of going to an event, you know, maybe meeting 4,000 people, but having a podcast, you know, you can reach out to 1,000 people. So we all know, I mean, you're in real estate, we're in real estate. We know that your network is your net worth, and, you know, networking is very important. And nowadays, or even in the older days, people didn't have the opportunity to put their, you know, content out to thousands of people. Mm-hmm. But nowadays we have in the internet, we have social media, but in your eyes or your opinion, like what would be the best way for people to network online without having to go, you know, travel and spend all this money? If people can't either afford or just
don't have the time.
Yeah. Have the time to go to events.
Yeah. So you're asking me what's the best way to network currently online today. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So the best way you can network is to lead with value. So it doesn't matter if 1,000 people listen to this episode and nothing happens. If 1,000,000 people listen to this episode and nothing happens, it would be worthless. But if 1,000 people listen to this and 900 people got value, well, then you have something. So if you reach out to 1,000 people on LinkedIn, and you send the same BS of, hey, I saw we had some people, I thought we should connect, I want to add you, whatever, maybe I'll accept you. I did that for the longest time. And now I just block those. I don't block them. I just don't accept it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you're a genuine person and you said, you know, hey, John Doe, I saw that you didn't have a banner on your company website for your private equity firm. I went ahead and took the initiative of 15 minutes of my time and created one for you. And I've attached it. Feel free to use it if you'd like. Now you're leading with value. Let's say you do that to 10, 12, 20 people, 50 people, 100 people. Odds are 50% of those people are probably gonna get back to you. Now you've developed and they know that you've led with value and you are somebody that is gonna do something, right? Man of action.
Yeah.
And now if you say, hey, I'm underwriting this deal, I'm struggling to make these numbers work. Like I heard you on a podcast and you mentioned like the LTV being blah, 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 blah. Can you might hop it on a call? Yeah, sure. 5 minutes of your time. No problem. Right. But if you reached out to 1,000 people cold and just said, blah, 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 blah. It's like, and are you networking? Yeah, I guess you are, but are you networking leading with value? So the best way, whether you're doing that on Instagram, whether you're doing that on Twitter, whether you're doing that on LinkedIn, leading with value anywhere you go across any field in life, in any relationship is going to be very beneficial for you, as opposed to you wanting something from them.
Yes, that is such gold. Yeah. That's awesome. And I completely agree, because a lot of times like that, I feel like that'll stand out among all the DMs that a lot of the times you'll get. Like on LinkedIn, we're always getting blown up, but hardly anyone's done anything remotely like that. So that would absolutely catch my attention, and I would want to know who that person is.
Yeah. And I'd be so willing to give some of my time and for, you know, anything that they need, or just, you know, get to know them as a person.
Yeah. And so it is almost time for our speed round, but I did want to ask quickly, in terms of like call to actions, because you mentioned call to action when you're on, I think that applies to when you're creating content or when you're being a host or a guest on a podcast. What is some good rules of thumbs for creating a strong call to action?
Yeah. So when you're a podcast guest and you go in on other people's podcasts, what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to have a call to action that is basically bringing people to, let's say you have a landing page, or you have a, we'll make it simple. You have a, so for example, I will say, hey, if you've listened to this podcast episode, go to my website, Leap Podcast Bookings, in the upper right-hand corner, schedule a call, enter the promo code 1234, and you will receive 25% off your first billing cycle. Mm-hmm. Right. So if somebody's listening to that, they're like, okay, wow. Oh, I forgot to throw in like for the first two people. Right. So you, you throw in some scarcity, first two people to listen to this, go to my website, enter the promo code 1234. They will receive 25% off. Clear, concise, something short, something sweet with scarcity. The first two people are going to be the first two people to enter it. All right. I got to take some action. If you're going on a podcast and you say, I'm on LinkedIn and I really enjoy talking about real estate. And I also have a podcast episode, and my phone number is 310, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, feel free to reach out. It's like, right. Yeah. It just falls flat. Like podcasting is a very intimate experience. You listen to it, you know, usually from A to Z, the whole episode, right? It's in your ears, walking around the house, you're cleaning. You don't just jump in the middle of a podcast and go, what is this? Like, it's not like a song. It's not a movie.
Yeah.
You start a podcast, you listen to the whole thing. And then when you get to the end, it's almost like you want your cake and you want to eat it too. Right. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody's just like, yeah, you know, hit me up on Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever, Twitter. It's like, bro, where, like, what kind of call to action is that? Nobody wants that. So add some scarcity, have it be, you know, directional, limited, one way, and you'll notice more people in your funnel than as opposed to not in your funnel.
Well, that's awesome. And I'll just kind of build off of that a little bit. I think the key to is also to add value. And like for us, what we've kind of come across learning is it has to be a no-brainer for them, because like you're not asking for nothing. Typically you want their email address, and a lot of times people are hesitant to give it out. So if you want their email address, it has to be like a very overwhelmingly unbalanced trade. Like they have to be getting so much value for them to give you their email address that it's a no-brainer. You know, oh, okay, I'll totally get that free passive investing guide just so I can give you my email bet. Like that's easy, you know?
Yeah. My underwriting calculator, calculator, or I will review your underwriting model for the first two people. And people are like, well, great. I'm underwriting a deal right now. Like I'd love to have somebody looking at it.
Yeah, exactly.
But for sure.
I love that. Well, awesome. Thank you for all that value. It is time for our speed round. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Awesome. All right. First one, what is the number one thing that you are doing differently today? And I would appreciate if you could maybe tie it into like marketing or podcasting or branding or something like that. So one thing that you're doing differently today that you weren't doing when you first started.
Ramping up my social media.
Love it.
Awesome. In business, what was the biggest failure, and we like to call it lesson, that you've learned, you know, when it comes to business? And you can relate that to podcasting if you'd like.
I would say, you know, the biggest lesson that I learned is to get things in writing and trust people based off of their actions, not what they say.
I love that.
Yeah.
What is the number one book that has impacted you in your business or personal life?
One of my favorite books is The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. I'm actually rereading it right now. I've been reading it every night. But that is a very powerful book as far as like a man on a mission and trusting faith and going with what his gut is. And, if you've read it, it's a very impactful book. So I would recommend that book.
I just read that book. Like I just finished it a few weeks ago. It was awesome. Life-changing. It's so powerful. One of my takeaways was focusing on your personal legend and pursuing it over everything. And I think that's just one of the keys to like being fully fulfilled. It was awesome.
Yeah. And when you look at it, like, and they talk about omens, right? Like, you're like, you see something and you're like, oh, like they cut me off, but it's like, maybe they cut you off going to work and now you didn't get that accident, you know, three story or like 3 minutes ahead and you get to live. Like, you don't know. You know?
I love that. Crazy. Oh, so true. Awesome. Well, moving forward, what are you aiming to accomplish and what's your long-term goal for your business and your life?
Yeah. So loaded question. But I would say I'm like, quick lightning round. Yeah. Okay. Is this like a 30-second answer? Yeah. So just real quick. So, you know, with my business trying to scale, add some more social media, creating more micro content for clients and basically positioning more video for people in the real estate industry and helping them market themselves better. Mm-hmm. Within my own life, I'm having a second child in the middle of October.
Oh, so congrats. Having my
second child. Yeah. Thanks. Second boy. So just looking forward to life and, you know, watching and raising two strong boys and living and having a happy family.
That's awesome. You got to have them read The Alchemist early as well.
Yeah, man, for sure.
I love it.
Okay. And you've already dropped a lot of good advice here on this podcast today, but if you could leave one piece of advice to someone listening today, what would that be?
My piece of advice to somebody that's listening to this would be that, you know, everybody is a unique individual and everybody, you know, wants change and can change and we aren't dinosaurs. And if you want to reinvent yourself and do something, go out there and make it happen for yourself because you can do it. And don't let anybody tell you that you can't be done.
That is awesome.
Powerful words.
Mic drop on that note. Yeah. Matthew, if anyone wants to learn more about you or just kind of follow you on your journey, where can they go to do that?
Yeah, sure. So you guys, you know, I appreciate having me on. If you want to get into my funnel, you can go to elitepodcastbookings.com. You can schedule a call in the right-hand corner, enter the promo code 1234, and we will give you 25% off for the first two people to enter that code. That's where I would direct people.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks again for being here, Matthew. It was awesome chatting with you, and we appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you today.
Likewise, gents.
Thank you. Appreciate everyone, thank you so much for tuning in today to The Real Estate Monopoly. This is Kerwin.
This is Kenneth.
And I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Please make sure to leave a 5-star review and a comment down in the comment section below. And let's get out there and take action. Have a great one.